First, it was Flint, Michigan. Now, Newark, New Jersey is dealing with a huge lead problem. Residents there are drinking bottled water because elevated lead levels were detected in the city's drinking water. Lead contamination from a variety of sources has been an entrenched issue in cities for years. Many old homes were built before a lead paint ban went into effect in 1978. Officials are grappling with how to fix that problem. In the meantime, parents worry about the known health effects of lead on their children's brain development. But is it possible that the brain could compensate through the simple act of reading? Ann Glosser from WCPN IdeaStream has the story from Cleveland.
What's this?
Mouse.
Yeah? I see a nose on every face. I see noses every place.
About a year ago, at 1 year old, Eden Tobik was found to have a blood lead level of 19. Any amount of lead is harmful to young children. 5 is the threshold of concern. Her mother, Casey Tobik, was devastated.
Shock, guilt, shame, fear, despair, terror sets in, and then you Google it, and it gets even worse.
They didn't have chipping paint, just an old house in Lakewood with friction surfaces causing lead dust that Eden must have ingested as she crawled around like any normal toddler. They took out a loan to make their home lead safe and were told to give Eden healthy foods and a multivitamin. But other than that, doctors had nothing else to offer her.
It was very much a, this is it, let's just watch and wait and see what happens, which as a mom is like the worst thing you can hear from a medical professional because you just feel helpless.
If I have a child with lead poisoning in front of me, I would never say to the parent, it's hopeless.
That's MetroHealth pediatrician Dr. Robert Needleman.
We don't know in your individual case what that lead may or may not be doing. But what we do know is in every case, if you talk with your child and listen to your child and have conversations and read books together and learn together, your child will be smarter and have more self-control and behave better than if you don't do that.
The key is to remove the source of lead exposure and provide a nurturing environment where learning can happen. One-on-one conversations and interactions promote healthy, strong brain connections.
Those kinds of conversations cause the brain to grow in positive ways and essentially combat the negative effects of lead.
While the cellular damage of lead is permanent, Needleman and other experts say the young brain is highly resilient and they believe it can compensate for the loss.
If one part of it isn't working very well, other parts can take over. And also, it's growing. It's not finished.
Needleman says reading offers one of the best ways to help the brain bounce back from lead exposure, which is why he helped start the National Reach Out and Read program, where doctors give books to patients and encourage reading. Looking at pictures, naming objects, hearing, and sounding out words all fire up important connections in the brain. University of Cincinnati researcher Kim Dietrich was part of a 2015 CDC working group that reviewed the scientific literature on ways to help lead-exposed children.
The idea, the concept that children who are exposed to lead early on are a lost generation is completely fallacious.
Dietrich thinks reading is an excellent strategy for helping lead-exposed children, but he and others in the field, including Needleman, acknowledge that there isn't perfect scientific data on its effectiveness. And it wouldn't be ethical to do a perfect study. You couldn't ask some parents to not read to their lead-exposed children just so you'd have a control group. Case Western Reserve University's Rob Fisher is planning a new study to gather some data about programs that get books into the hands of children with lead exposure. Fisher recently co-authored a study that found that high-quality preschool, which would have, in theory, a lot of reading and one-on-one attention, didn't help lead-poisoned kids catch up to their peers. But there's nuance to their findings.
We see in the evidence that there are lead-exposed children who are on track at kindergarten and that are on track at third grade. What's allowing them to overcome that adversity? It's very possible that something like reading and parental engagement in the child's life is the success factor that allows that to happen.
And one thing more, suppose no nose, where would all our glasses sit? They'd fall off, just think of it. The end. Another one?
For Casey Tobik, reading is something she would have done anyway, but she's encouraged by the messages of resiliency.
I am in a much better place than I was. I've sought out medical professionals of varying degrees. Everyone at this point is reassuring me that we caught it early and that, you know, her system is resilient and she will most likely not have any long-term effects because we caught it early. We got rid of the lead in her environment quickly and her levels have gone down drastically.
And at last count, Eden's lead levels are down to 3.3, below the threshold of concern. For Here and Now, I'm Ann Glosser in Cleveland.